Many of us here tonight are parents. We have children that we have raised, either they, you know, our biological children, or we've taken care of other people's children, or in some cases, both. Let me ask you a question. When you were getting ready to welcome your first child into your home, how did you feel? Were you sure that everything was going to be all right, or were you unsure about what was coming? Were you confident, or were you absolutely scared to death? What did you use to guide you at the start? Did you read books? Did you take advice from your parents, from your grandparents, from your friends? How helpful were these things to you? Did you do everything perfectly the first time? Probably not. Holly and I became parents at what could be considered a somewhat late age. I was 37, Holly was 36, and we had some issues, but finally, we had one shot of in vitro. And truth be told, we could have had triplets. We wanted twins. We've always wanted two kids, but we could have had triplets. But it was successful, and there was a pretty uneventful pregnancy until around at the end of 8 months, when Holly's blood pressure rose and the doctor said, "You're going in." And Ethan was 7 pounds, 7 ounces, which is pretty big when you consider he was only 8 months of age. And after a couple of days, we came home. We brought Ethan back to the house. And it was a very uncertain time for us, because we had never done this before. Now, granted, we had some experience because Holly's sister had a boy and a girl at that time. So we had some experience. But it took us a while to deal with multiple feedings during the night, changing diapers, illness, times when we said, "Is he still breathing?" And then there was the first night that Ethan slept for 4 to 5 hours straight. And I remember waking up about 5 o'clock in the morning or so and thinking, well, he got fed last at midnight. And I poked Holly and I said, "Oh my God, he's dead." But of course he wasn't. Yeah, he's here. But we had read the books, we had taken advice from well-meaning friends and from family. And while we really, really wanted to be perfect parents, because we had waited, we had had issues and had not been successful, we still messed up. We still couldn't figure out how best to handle the feedings that would come every couple of hours during the night. And it took us a little bit, but we finally figured out how we were going to be mom and dad to our little boy. And we figured out how we were going to handle, so to speak, raising Ethan. And to a certain extent, we are still learning 17 years later. Now, whenever we start something new as human beings, we want to do it right. We want whatever we are doing to be successful. We want to do it perfectly. So, we read the books, we listen to what other people say, and we try to follow the steps that have been presented to us for doing whatever we need to do. But we do not achieve perfection, and in most cases, that first or second time, we fail miserably. And while we can read all of the books, we can attend all of the seminars, and seek advice from many successful people, in the end, we need to figure out what works for us. My father had a very big impact on me when I was growing up. And being young, I wanted to be exactly like him. I wanted to act like him. I wanted to speak like him. I wanted to interact with people just like he did. And I wanted to think like him too, because my dad was perfect and he handled everything. Now, as a young boy growing up, this was a pretty easy thing to do, to watch my dad and to imitate him, because the life of a young boy is relatively simple. But as I got older and I got more out into the world and I began to experience the complexities of life, and I began to have experiences that I had never seen my father handle, and things where I could not adapt what he had done, it became more and more difficult to be perfect like he was. What I had learned from watching him did not work in many cases. I needed to find my own way of doing things. I had to find out how I could do things my own way that was good enough to get the job done. Now, wanting to do something perfectly is not necessarily a bad thing to strive for. Even though we will never reach that level of perfection, it is still a good thing that can drive us to do well. But sometimes striving for that perfection can trip us up. In a lot of cases, there are a number of different ways that you can take and you can do something. I'm in IT. I've spent my life writing programs, and there are a lot of different ways that you can do things when you're writing programs. But no matter what it is, if we start letting ourselves get tripped up, we get an idea in our heads of what the perfect way is or the right way, and we focus on that, and we focus on making it work. This is the right way. This is the way that it must be done. And in some cases, we take and we exhaust a lot of time and a lot of effort trying to follow this idea that is in our head that in the end doesn't work. The same we in a lot of cases, bring that same mindset to how we practice our faith. And we fall into that same trap because we must do things in the perfect way. We must read our Bibles every day, morning and night. We must pray. Be constantly in prayer. That's what the Bible says. I must serve a church in whatever capacity. And when we fail to meet up to those expectations, to that perfect way, if we don't read our Bible every day, or if we are not constantly in prayer, or we just don't have time to serve at the church, then we say, well, I must not be doing it right. So I need to try harder. But it doesn't work in a lot of cases, and we end up having meaningless experiences. And to a certain extent, we become like the hypocrites that Jesus talks about in Matthew. Especially, you know, in regards to our spiritual life, our walk of fame. We become more interested in appearing to be holy and to making other people believe that we have got it all together in regards to our faith. And we begin to crave the approval of others. We begin to want people to say, you know, he is really a good person of faith. And that becomes more important instead of focusing upon what is true. The problem with getting hung up on finding the perfect way to practice our faith is that we forget the real reason for our spiritual practices. And that is to bring us into a closer relationship with God. That, my friends, is the true treasure. That, my friends, is the true reward. So instead of reaching for the perfect way to practice our faith, we should strive to reach for a faith that is never perfect, but that works for us. And we need to forgive ourselves. Beginning of the year, I challenged everybody to read their Bible every day, and I'm not really going to ask this question, but how many of you have actually read your Bibles every single day? You don't have to put your hands up, because I can't.
Most days.
But when that happens, when I am not perfect, it doesn't mean that I've failed. It's just for whatever reason I didn't read that day. It doesn't make me less of a child of God. It doesn't mean that God loves me less. It simply means that for whatever reason, reading my Bible every day didn't work out. But I get back up. And I try again the next day. And that, my friends, is what each of us needs to figure out for ourselves. We need to figure out what is the way for us to practice our faith that is not perfect, But to have a faith that is indeed good enough. Amen.